If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids, ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
As we are going through this podcast, and right now we're in the study of the book of Nehemiah. It's an Old Testament book in the Bible. I want to make clear that the point of this is not so that you can grow in your knowledge of Bible trivia. It's not so you, if you attend church or Sunday school, that you can raise your hand when someone asks a question and you're like, oh yeah, I know that information. The point for this is a couple of things. Number one, it is because it is the Word of God that is living and active that we desperately need in order to accomplish those objectives of being spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. Also, it is to help inspire you and to be a guide so that you can dive into the study of the Bible for yourself. It's not a replacement for you doing your own study. Now, I understand that because this is a podcast that can be heard literally around the world, there are people who do not even have resources of Bibles. They may not have any kind of church affiliation or even opportunity. They may not even be able to be public about their interest in the things of God. And that's part of the reason that I do this podcast is to try to get past those barriers and to give information for people who truly do not have the opportunity to conduct Bible study for themselves. But if you are not in that category, then this is something that should be treated as a supplement, just like you might take vitamins or other kinds of nutritional supplements. But it's not to replace your own personal Bible study, just as taking vitamin D, for example, doesn't mean you don't need to eat any foods that have vitamin D in it. Hopefully, this is a help to you as you study the Bible and as you listen and as you're able to follow along, you can go, oh, that helps me to be able to know how I can apply that, not just to these particular passages that we are studying, but also to other passages. So you can see, oh, how did she come up with that? Hey, that's something that I can do in my own study. You don't have to have a seminary degree in order to study the Bible. Not knocking that, but I'm saying for most people, we're not going to get seminary degrees. We don't need to be intimidated by studying the scriptures. As a matter of fact, we need to, that's all the more reason to study the scriptures. So make sure that this is a supplement and it's not a replacement for you and your own Bible study. I strongly recommend and encourage you, if you at all have the opportunity, then do your own reading as we're going through this. And one of the beautiful aspects of technology that we have now is not only for being able to read on our smartphones and laptops and all of that, but we can also listen to audio versions of the Bible. That's not cheating. That's just making good use of the technology that we have. So I encourage you that even though sometimes our episodes here are only going through a few verses, you may choose to just read or listen to a few verses, or you may choose to listen to or read a longer passage and just go back through it over and over again, because there's always something new that is possibly waiting for you there to understand or to apply in your own life. Studying the Bible isn't just about coming up and filling our brain with some sort of knowledge. This is designed to give us insight and wisdom in how to live in the real world in every single aspect of life, not just, quote, in matters of faith, but in how we relate to those in our circle, how we function as spouses, as parents, as friends, as in the business world, and all these different endeavors that we are called to in life. Nehemiah is a fantastic book about leadership. And you may think, well, that doesn't really apply to me because I'm not really a leader. Listen, everyone is a leader, or at least has the capacity to lead, because no one can lead you better than yourself. Now, I don't mean by that that you have all the innate knowledge and understanding that you have. That's not true for any of us. But ultimately, you are responsible for your own leadership of your life. So why not be smart about it and follow along with the wisdom that God gives to us? As I said, we are still in the book of Nehemiah, and we're only going to be looking at a couple of verses today, but they are so packed with information and with help. What we saw in last week's episode is that Nehemiah had a bold ask. It was a scary, risky ask in his position as wine steward to King Artaxerxes to say, I want to go back and rebuild the city that belonged to my forefathers. He doesn't specifically say Jerusalem, but the king pretty quickly figures out that's the city that he's referring to. And Nehemiah wants to go back and rebuild the city. And when he asked that, he's asking the king to reverse a decision that the king had made 13 years earlier, which was to say that city could not be rebuilt. This was a bold ask. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that episode, because it helps us to be able to say, how do we prepare for the bold asks that we need to be able to have in our lives? Well, today we're going to pick up after he asks the king this initial bold ask, and the king doesn't just say, well, off with your head, or no, there's no way I'm going to let you do that. Go back and get me another bottle of wine. But the king actually demonstrates that he's open to this bold ask and implies that he may give his permission by saying, well, how long would you be gone and when would you be coming back? Nehemiah follows that with two other bold asks. He's thought through this situation. He has prepared for this conversation with King Artaxerxes. Without the king's permission and approval and support, there is no way that Nehemiah could accomplish what God had put it in his heart to do. So he's not winging it. He's not making things up on the fly. He has thought about the king's possible responses, and he's prepared for that. Specifically, he asks for two items. Number one, he wants the king to write letters that grant him safe passage so that he can make the journey back to Jerusalem. The Persian Empire was huge. It covered a vast amount of territory. And the further than he got away from the capital city and the main areas of the Persian Empire, then the more at risk he was going to be at being intercepted by other rulers or by bandits or whoever. And it was important to be able to produce documentation, not just relying on his own word to say, hey, I am on the king's business. Therefore, it's not just up to you whether to have discretion about whether you want to let me pass through your territory or not. It was a matter of saying, hey, basically what you're saying is yes or no to the king, because I have these letters that grant me safe passage. The second bold ask that he made then, after that first one, was he wanted letters. Basically, these were like purchase orders for the forestry department. Nehemiah knew that he was going to need wood, and he was going to need a lot of timber in order to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Again, he's prepared. He's thought ahead. And he says, hey, I want to have a letter from you to the head of the forestry department who's going to let me requisition whatever I need. It's not an itemized list at this point. There's a tremendous amount of trust that Nehemiah is asking the king to give to him. I don't know exactly how long that Nehemiah had been serving King prior to this situation coming up, But it is important to note that he has done the work. He's invested the time. He's shown up faithfully. He has built trust with this man in order to be able to ask for these bold asks and to have things that are this open-ended. Here's one of the applications that we can make to this in our lives, especially when it's about being relationally smart. The more significant of a conversation that you're going to have with someone when you need their cooperation, their approval, their blessing, the more time you need to spend preparing for it. Again, from our previous episodes, we've seen Nehemiah has spent months in prayer and fasting. And I think we can rationally conclude also thinking through how he could approach the king and handle this situation. He doesn't just get this idea one day and then he's dashing in to ask the king about it the next. And in the same way, when we have something that we want to accomplish and we need someone else's approval, their blessing, their cooperation, we want to spend the appropriate amount of time preparing for that. And also then selecting the right occasion to be able to bring up that topic. On a very practical level, if you need to discuss something with your child or with a spouse, don't do that when it's late at night and they're exhausted and tired or they've had a bad day or whatever. Even if you have planned everything out and then something happens on the day that you're planning to bring up this topic and then you realize that their day has just been filled with one problem or another, have the willingness to set it aside for another time. There's very few things that we talk about that really usually have to be talked about in that exact moment of time. Prepare, and this is different than just stewing, okay? There's a big difference between just stewing and rehashing a topic over and over and over again until you're so worked up emotionally that it's more like a volcano that goes off or verbal vomit that spits out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about preparing. And one of the key aspects here that Nehemiah has done is he is solution-minded. He's thought about the problems he knows he's going to encounter. He knows he's going to encounter some difficulty with just getting to Jerusalem. And so he has come up with a solution for that. He's going to ask for letters from the king that say, give this guy all what he needs to be able to get through your territories. And then he knows he's going to need timber. Definitely not tinder like the app. Okay, that's definitely down rabbit trail. We are definitely not going there. Timber as in wood to rebuild this city. He has defined problems and then he's come up with solutions. If you don't have a solution mindset going into a conversation, it's probably best to not have the conversation. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have an answer for everything, but you do have to have the mindset of finding a solution. And that is a key element in us that says, are we really about solving a problem? Or is our motivation here that we just want to vent about an issue? Or do we really want to solve it? So we see with Nehemiah that he comes to this having identified problems and having solutions. He doesn't just come and say, hey, Cain, I'm going to need timber. I don't have a clue how I'm going to get it. What do you think? He doesn't do that. He says, here is a solution that I am proposing. And the king could have said no. The king could have had something else. But it actually was very respectful to the king that rather than shifting the burden of coming up with a solution to the problems to the king, Nehemiah had owned that burden himself and came saying, here's some specific things I'm going to need. Here are the solutions for this that I am proposing. The second thing that we see that Nehemiah does is he accepts help. When he eventually leaves and heads to Jerusalem to complete this task, the king sends him with an escort with soldiers, with army officers. He doesn't just send him with a couple of you know, little servants that didn't amount to anything. I mean, Nehemiah goes with an entourage and he accepts help. How important is it for us to have the humility and the heart that says we will be willing to accept help when it's offered? Now, I have to say, I know this is hard. As a matter of fact, I was in a conversation just recently with one of my sons, and he said to me, you know, Mom, one of the things that we know about you is that sometimes you are not really good about asking for help, or you have to ask for help and when it's like a business arrangement. And it was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm still working on that. But again, this is where we see this modeled. Okay, he has the humility to accept all of the offer of help that the king sends with him. And part of the reason that he accepts that help is because he knows that even though he has these letters of safe passage, it's also a good idea to be able to recognize there's safety in numbers. And he has military men with him, and they're going to be carrying weapons. And there's a time that you just need to be fully equipped for the worst case scenarios that can happen. And Nehemiah recognizes that, and he accepts all the help that the king offers to him. The third thing that we need to understand from this situation here is when he finally gets to Jerusalem, one of the first things that he encounters is resistance. You know, why are we surprised at that? I mean, why is it that every time that we're going to start something new and we encounter resistance, we have this tendency to act like, where did that come from? This is part of life. Expect enemies when you set out to help other people become strong and self-sufficient. Don't make the mistake of thinking that everybody is going to be on board. Everybody is not invested in other people's well-being. People tend to be invested in their own well-being, not everybody else's. Now, as Christians, we are called to be people who are different. And as we mature, that should become a character trait of ours. But don't expect that's the way that the world is going to operate. Not everyone is happy when other people are no longer vulnerable or dependent on them. You need to really hear that and understand that. Not everybody is happy when other people who are currently vulnerable or dependent on them become strong and self-sufficient and no longer are in that position of vulnerability and dependency. There is power in vulnerability and dependency. And some people do not want to give up their power. And this isn't just true in the political realm. This can be true in individual relationships just as much as it can be on big global, national, international scales. More people are usually invested in keeping the status quo than changing it. So don't expect that when you come in with a heart to change something, to challenge the status quo, that most people are going to line up with you. That is typically not what happens. Everyone is not going to be your cheerleader when you set out to do what God has put in your heart. It's just not going to be that way. And if you go in with that expectation, you will quickly become demoralized, you'll become distracted, and you can end up spending more of your time and energy trying to win people over than just getting on with the task of what God has put it in your heart to do. And these truths apply as much to individuals as they do to organizations. Your status quo that you want to change might be in a dynamic in your own family. Maybe it's between you and your children. Maybe it's between you and a sibling, between you and a spouse, or you and parents. Everybody is not going to come alongside and be your cheerleader in changing the status quo. Maybe your status quo is changing something in an organization. Maybe it's a church, it's a school, it's a community, it's a business. Understand that anytime you're going to take on the status quo, you will absolutely encounter resistance. So don't be shocked or surprised by that. Rather, be prepared for it. Now, when someone comes in with a heart to change the status quo, to take on something big and significant, the people who are close to you or close to the situation will tend to do one of two things, and there's a third thing that they tend not to do. They will tend to either oppose you, or they will tend to line up with you, but people seldom decide that they're just going to go sit on the bleachers. You're going to find people who are going to join your team. You're going to find people who are going to line up on the opposing team, but very few people will just go sit in the bleachers and truly be impartial to what's going to happen. Now, people who have no connection to you or no connection to what you are wanting to accomplish, they'll go sit in the bleachers, but they're not impacted and they're not invested anyway. So I'm not talking about those individuals. Here again, you have to be prepared to understand this and not be resentful when everybody doesn't just come running to your side and joining your team and cheering you on. Expect resistance. It's going to come, and then prepare for it. Well, Nehemiah has done all of that. And that's why he shows up and he doesn't get distracted. He's thought ahead. He's prepared for things. He isn't just winging it in how he's going to accomplish this. And he accepts help. So those are three things that we can apply in a very, very granular day-to-day life that we have, whether it's in our individual relationships or it's leading a team, an organization, a business. What can we do? When we look at the status quo and we say, that needs to change, and God has given me the ability to affect some change in this area, what do we need to do? Number one, we've got to prepare for the conversations that we're going to need to have with the people whose cooperation we need. We don't just wing it, we prepare. Number two, we accept help. We don't just say, hey, we're going to do this all on our own. We accept help. And number three, we expect and we prepare for resistance and not get all bent out of shape when it's going to come, because we just know that's just going to be part of the process. All right. So those are three things that you can take away today. And if you're looking for exactly what's the Bible reference for this teaching, it's in Nehemiah, the second chapter, verses 6 or 10. Yeah, just four short verses, but it sure packs in a lot there for us. All right, my friend, I'm going to ask you if you would just leave a rating and a review for the podcast. That helps other people to be able to find the podcast. It also helps to give me some feedback as to what you find helpful. And also, I invite you to check out the website, stephaniepresents.com. You can sign up there for my weekly newsletter, High Impact. And I look forward to sharing life again with you next week. Also, if you don't know, releasing on Thursdays, so these episodes release on Tuesdays, I just started on Thursdays a shorter episode that is specific for parents and other people who are mentoring and raising and caregiving for children, to see application of some of these ideas specifically for children. All right, my friend, if you've heard episodes before, then this is going to sound familiar. And if you're new, you need to really hear this, because whether you've heard it for the 30th time or you're hearing it for the first time, it is absolutely true. You have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable.
Thank you for listening. visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.